You're listening to Meeting Pod, the podcast powered by Meeting Place, the premier magazine and news source for the meat and poultry processing industry, and Alt Meat Magazine, the only business information resource for the exploding alternative meat industry.
Welcome. I'm Chris Scott, host of Meeting Pod and contributing editor at Meeting Place and Alt Meat Magazines. Today's conversation will focus on the rapidly expanding implementation of the use of robotics and other high-tech systems in meat processing plants since we last checked in with today's guest last fall. Dr. Conrad Ahlen is senior robotics researcher at the Georgia Tech Research Institute, who, along with his team of researchers, aims to help food companies better understand and utilize these emerging robotic systems. In addition to his updates on system development, we'll also take a look at the use of artificial intelligence and remote systems that ultimately could allow for processing procedures that either reduce or eliminate the human physical touch. Thanks once again for spending some time with us today, Conrad.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me back.
It's great to have you with us again. Let's start with a recap of how the use of these robotic systems have expanded since your last visit. For example, Tyson Foods has opened two high-tech poultry processing plants that have integrated what are likely expandable automated systems and trained their employees accordingly. Is the trend in this direction accelerating as rapidly as it appears?
Well, Chris, I think that's a great question. And I think that that's a really insightful look into the industry and how things are shaping. So there's a couple different ways that you can look at the current rise in automation in poultry processing. One of the ways that I think is a very valid insight into what's currently going on is that what poultry producers are using aren't necessarily new technologies. These are technologies that have been available over the past, I'm not going to say, decade or so, where you have these fixed automation solutions for doing tasks that are typically done manually. But the differences between now and 10 years ago is that as before, the person was available to do these jobs. Now there's fewer and fewer people that are willing to do these tasks. So it's not necessarily that there has been some new innovation that is driving advances in these automated systems. It's that now the market is really feeling that need for the automated systems. And so they're going after them with greater fervor. On the other hand, there has also been improvements. These systems are always increasing their yield. They're always getting better. They're always being more desirable. So you have these two balancing forces of, is the labor available and how do the machines perform? And we're right now at that point where we're seeing a tipping where companies like Tyson, who have done some amazing things in poultry processing, are at the point where they see value in using these automated systems in order to compensate for the lack of manual labor that's readily available.
And we'll get to that manual labor question a little bit later in our discussion. Mm-hmm. Now, we've previously discussed the concept of flexible automation at these plants thanks to robots. Has that protocol been adjusted or improved from your perspective since you were last on Meeting Pod? And if so, how is that concept working out?
I think that the perception has certainly changed. And that's definitely changing very rapidly, is how might robots be used in these spaces? So again, robots are always being developed. Artificial intelligence and other various software and hardware aspects are getting better every day. And that sort of acceleration has been happening for quite some time, but now is really receiving that public attention of, oh, these technologies are here and they're increasing in value and they're increasing in how they're being used. I think that places that have reliance on fixed automations are always going to run into the bottleneck of, no matter how good your machine is, you need someone at the front of it, you need someone at the end of it, someone to load the product, someone to offload the product. You're going to need systems to be able to check the quality of the product that you're processing, and you're always going to need some secondary post-handling after the automated step to make sure that things happen the way that you want them to. So in a sense, even when you add automation, you're still having to double checking a lot of human intervention where a person is going to be responsible to make sure that everything happened the way it was supposed to happen. With the rise of flexible automation, some of those issues are going to be taken away as issues that fixed automation has, where flexible automation can handle some of the variances and some of the unexpected behaviors that you would otherwise see when dealing with natural product.
And a lot of this, I suspect, will be adjusted as needs are recognized on the plant floor. Absolutely. Now, it sounds like the use of these automated systems at plants range from covering specific procedures on the line to plant maintenance and sanitation to improving overall plant safety. Which of these currently involve robotics and automated systems the most, and what might be the next frontier in terms of these applications?
So it's hard to say which one of these is going to be the most, because every single plant is going to be a little bit different. Every plant is going to have their own challenges, even if they're doing fundamentally similar things. I'm not going to be able to say that one of these methods is more ubiquitous within plants than others. I can say that one of the areas where automation, artificial intelligence, machine learning, robotics, and things like that are seeing really good results is in this realm of perception, where you can use image data and then sort of make some conclusion based off of that image data. For example, making sure that your x-ray is free of foreign contaminants, making sure that your system is operating safely. All of those things where you're capturing data and analyzing that data and then making decision based off that data, machines are getting better at. You still need human intervention. You still need to make sure that there's a person that is monitoring things. You don't want this to be something where it's completely hands-off, because there's always going to be something unexpected that's happening. But these systems are getting really good at being able to detect when things are abnormal. In other areas, such as plant sanitation, plant maintenance, I believe that we're going to see a rise in robotics and artificial intelligence in these areas. The general problem is that anytime you have a physical system that's physically doing something, there's more cost involved. There's more specialty materials, more advances that need to happen. I think that we're getting there, and I think that we're moving in that direction, but we're not quite there yet, or at the very least, we're not as far along as these plants require in order to meet their operative needs.
Gotcha. Now, these and other robotics-based systems that are designed to make processing more efficient eventually are expected to go beyond such repetitive actions as deboning or sorting on a poultry plant floor, for example. Can you outline other areas in a processing facility where robotics might eventually play a role in making operations smoother, safer, or less costly?
Yes, that's a very interesting point, where when you see robotics happening, especially in manufacturing, your expectation is that the robot is going to be doing the same sort of task over and over and over again. Car manufacturing is a great example of this because you see it so clearly. One robot is going to be your welding robot. It's going to do a certain seam on a certain vehicle, and it's going to do that same operation over and over and over again. And then it's going to pass the car over to a painting robot, where that robot is expected to do painting tasks over and over and over again. However, the real benefit of robotics is that you have this flexibility in understanding what the robot is going to do in order to perform its operations. So I think that's something that food processing might really benefit from, and a way that robotics might be able to assist food processing in a way that hasn't been really seen before is in this idea that a robot might need to do different tasking based off of the incoming product. And that tasking could be part of an overall larger algorithm that decides how to most efficiently optimize the product that's coming through. For example, if you have a series of birds that are coming in that are of a specific size that make them more beneficial for the breast meat or the wing meat or whatever it might be, you could actually change your operations to meet the outgoing demands of your plants in order to make sure that you're maximizing yield in areas that are of interest to you. So rather than having one robot that does one thing over and over and over again, that robot might be determined to do something different in order to ultimately maximize yield and overall product, which would be a huge deviation than what we currently see. You could, in theory, see the assembly line nature of processing change in order to adapt to the changing circumstances of the input. All of this is an input and an output with a production site in the middle that's creating a profitable product. And with naturally varying product, where what's coming in the door is different day by day, having a system that's flexible and can account for that in order to maximize the quality and the output would be an extraordinary benefit to certain producers.
And all those producers are going to have to take a look at the learning curve for what's going to be available to be done, as well as how much it's going to cost, as well as how much people need training, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, let's take a quick break for a word from the episode sponsor today, OSID.
Today's podcast is brought to you by OSID. Get back to basics without compromising quality. Introducing the OSSET 500 Li Tuck and Fold Tray Overwrap Packaging Machine, designed for protein processors who value reliability. The 500 Li is perfect for packaging up to 60 packs per minute. Experience the efficiency and precision you've come to know and love. Discover how the OSSET 500 Li can bring simplicity and efficiency to your business. Visit our website or contact us for more information about the OSSET 500 Li. Now back to the podcast.
And we're back with Dr. Conrad Ahlen from the Georgia Tech Research Institute. Now, Conrad, virtual reality concepts are finally gaining some traction in the general population. We're adopting gaming and other systems despite the high price for Apple or Google VR headsets and controls. What are you and your team seeing as a potential future for VR at food processing plants?
So VR offers a very unique opportunity within the realm of robotics. Now, just a little bit of background on me. My PhD is actually in robotics, and it wasn't until working with Georgia Tech Research Institute in the Agricultural Technology Research Program that I started to understand the problems that food processors are facing and how robotics might be able to help alleviate some of those issues. And I am trying to make products that can be useful to food producers, but my perspective, my aim, my training is all on the robotics side. Mm-hmm. And from my perspective, food manufacturing, food production, poultry production offers a very unique challenge to robotics, where frankly, right now, robots aren't good enough to handle most of these cases. There are some very niche cases of pallet stacking and things of that nature where robots can do a fairly consistently good job. But for the most part, that's not the case. Robots aren't being used in these spaces because robots can't match the efficiency and the productivity of the human operator. So what I'm looking to do is I'm looking to find ways to integrate robots into these systems that are going to be useful to the plant managers and to the plant owners, but also is going to be usable by the person who's there on the line or the person who's there expected to do these tasks. And the really wonderful thing about virtual reality is virtual reality offers a space where a person and a robot can share the same native environment and communicate and send data back and forth to one another in a way that is natural for the person as well as the robot. Robots are actually really challenging in order to make the move from one location to another. We're really good at it. We've had 40 years or so of practice on how to do this efficiently. But in order to get a robot to move, you typically need a roboticist who's there to program the robot's behaviors, knows how to account for the robot's motions. In virtual reality, you actually now have an area where a person can say something very naturally, such as go there, and use a handheld remote control to point to a location in a 3D scene. And that information is coded in such a way that the robot knows exactly what that person is talking about, because that information is data. It's a string of numbers that is native to how the robot understands the world. So virtual reality is this very incredible mix where a person can understand the environment naturally as well as the robot. And now that you have that shared environment, you have the beginnings of what could be shared communication. And that shared communication is what's needed for tasking. Now, I know that I've gone kind of far afield down the philosophical realm of why we're using virtual reality, but I don't think it can be overstated that one of the barriers to putting a robot into these plant spaces is that robots require roboticists to communicate with them. But by using a virtual reality system, we're breaking down that barrier and making it so that anyone can communicate with a robot in a way that's natural to that person. You don't necessarily need special training that's going to take a four-year PhD to get you to a spot where you can have the robot move around. We're trying to create a platform now where the person and the robot share a common understanding, and therefore they can work together to do things.
Now, it seems as if the research into robotics for processors uncovers many new issues and challenges, even as progress is being made developing appropriate and advanced systems. Does it ever feel as if, like a building contractor, the more layers you successfully peel back, the more potential bits of bad news or trouble on the development or implementation front crop up?
I don't quite see it that way.
Okay.
Chris, I see it actually more as the more I peel into this, the more opportunities I see, where there is a severe need within food production, within poultry production, to be able to have consistent operations on a day-to-day basis. And those challenges are many. Those challenges are unique to every plant, and those challenges change as the culture and the workforce evolve and how our understanding with manual labor is growing. Obviously, there's a lot more protection now for a worker than there was 50 years ago, 100 years ago, which is absolutely appropriate. This is the way it's supposed to be. But these sorts of challenges make it difficult for employers to do the task, just to do what they need to have done. And as a roboticist, what I'm seeing plants having issues where they need people to do these jobs. And I'm seeing people having issues where doing these jobs are challenging. And so robotics offers this great and wonderful opportunity to ease tension or ease the burdens on both the plant operation side as well as the labor side. So it's a really cool opportunity where, yes, there's lots of challenges. Yes, there's lots of problems that need to be figured out. But robotics is kind of like this connectivity that allows these challenges to be met, to have solutions. And it's going to be complicated and it's going to be a matter of figuring things out over time. But I'm confident that we have the ability to be able to meet these needs.
Well, especially drawing on the experience from, say, as you said, 10 years ago till now, how far things have come along.
Absolutely.
Now, a lot of researchers that we've spoken with in the last year or so have outlined how helpful collaborations with other research institutions have been in speeding up the process to develop new ideas and bring automated systems at food plants into reality. Have you and your team found that this form of teaming up works specifically for robotics in terms of some of the uses we discussed earlier?
Oh, absolutely. No one is a roboticist on their own. No one knows everything. No one is an expert in all domains. And robotics is a field of domains brought together. So it takes that collaboration with other researchers in order to make a successful robotic system. My undergrad and master's program were both on mechanical engineering. Since then, I've had to learn a lot about programming and things of that nature, perception. But I rely on my colleagues, both within Georgia Tech and in other universities and the industry, in order to do the things that I do. So we actually have a project under the USDA and University of Arkansas, where we are trying to figure out some of these challenges on how to bring robotics into poultry production. And we're also working with the University of Lincoln, Nebraska to understand the social impacts of what it's going to mean in order to have these sorts of changes within the workplace. How does a person's life change if we were to implement these other various types of work? What does it mean for a person to work with a robot? Does that change how they perceive their job? Does that change how they interact with their coworkers? These things are important, and it's something where I, as a roboticist, don't have the beginning of a clue how to tackle on my own. But it's great to be able to work with people that have much more understanding in those realms.
Well, obviously, it's one component at a time, right?
It's one component at a time, but it's like bringing it all together to fit at once. Imagine a puzzle with 1,000 different people all holding one piece, and you all need to put it down to the table at near the same time in order to make a process work.
Gotcha. Now, finally, you've noted that adding these systems generally do not pose a threat to the jobs of plant workers, which was a concern about 10, 15 years ago. They can be trained to monitor, assist, or maintain these advanced processing components. What do you see as a potential timetable for more high-tech plants like Tyson's to spring up, especially as that company has teamed up with local community colleges to train prospective plant workers who maintain and service that equipment through guaranteed jobs at those facilities?
What do I see as a potential timetable for more high-tech plants like Tyson's to spring up? I think that the historical truth that we have seen over and over and over again is that technology begets more technology. So as advanced technologies progress, it becomes easier for new advanced technologies to be implemented. And I'm going to speak broadly here, but for example, when I was a kid, which was, you know, long ago, but not that long ago, the idea of having a TV in your car was ludicrous. Mm-hmm. But then by the time I'm high school, college, now you have cars that have DVD players in them. And now we have cars that are connected to the internet, and you could presumably watch Netflix, assuming that you're stopped and not in a traffic situation, on your vehicle. So it's as these technologies develop and mature, it doesn't become more challenging to be implemented. Instead, they actually become easier to implement. And it is my sincerest hope and desire that as we are introducing robotics into these poultry production facilities, places that have the money to put the upfront costs into development, places like Tyson and other poultry productions, facilities can do so and can see great value in that. But as that is happening, you will also be able to see other areas where robotics can then be used within poultry production. So even if the beginning, it's the big players that are implementing these robotic systems. And to be frank, I don't know that that's the case. I think you might actually see smaller players taking bigger risks with some of these systems, but that will be seen. But you will see that as these technologies are being used more and more, that it becomes easier for integration, not harder. And it's my hope that as robotics unlocks more potential within poultry processing, you can get smaller poultry processors that don't require a massive amount of volume of birds in order to make the profits necessary to justify the system. If you can have a flexible automation system that doesn't rely on a string of million-dollar machines in order to get the birds from in the facility to out the door, if you can do it with a few robots and smaller volume with smaller throughput times, or I should say longer throughput times, but smaller volumes, then you might have the opportunity there to see new players enter this space because they don't need to rely on having the massive infrastructure as some of these larger players use.
It's interesting you note that because I was just thinking the other day about the car phone from 20 or 30 years ago out in Los Angeles. It was very interesting. That was the big deal. And you could make maybe 6-minute phone calls. And today you have 11-year-olds with iPhones.
I know.
Just astonishing.
Talking to people on the other side of the world.
Literally. Well, thanks again for sharing your insights on automated systems advances and their uses in food processing plants, Conrad. And thanks to our sponsor, OSID, for sponsoring this episode. And of course, thanks to our Meeting Pod listeners for tuning in this week. That's a wrap. Until next time.
Remember to tune in on Mondays to get the inside track on the people and the processes that drive the protein industry. Be sure to subscribe to Meeting Pod on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Follow Meeting Place and Alt Meat Magazines on social media, and be sure to visit our websites at meetingplace.com and altmeat.net.